souls are listening together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we ask this evening that our minds be flooded with light. We receive instructions and information concerning the leading of your Spirit. We are obedient children, so we walk in our own as we receive fresh understanding, fresh application, and together we behold Him as He sees us in Him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Matthew 28. What I intend to do is split this series into two. We would stop here obeying the leading of the Spirit. Then we'll now talk about the prayer part of it. I think I'll call it Spirit-led prayers. How to pray led by the Spirit. See that. Matthew 28. So this will be series A, if you like. Alpha and Omega. All authority, verse 18, is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples, which means to train people for the gospel. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you, lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. Two words there. Lo, I am with you. That is to see what lo there is, the word oraho. It means to look up, a vision, a sight. When he says observe, terio means to watch like he's going to get lost. I am with you always. So Christ does not provide leading. His indwelling is the leading. He doesn't provide leading. He's the come and get leading. So, I don't know. He is the light. Okay, we've said that so far. Now, there's something I want us to look at. And, you know, some of us need to make a distinction between how we used to feel before we got born again. I'm going to tell you what I mean. I remember growing up, my dad or my parents would say things like, I'm sensing something. Many of us probably know what I'm trying to say. And so we sense, of course. She's right, because it's also suspicion. And if you are not careful, you may think that is the same thing as the leading of the Spirit. Number one, first of all, realize that you were darkness until Christ. Realize that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, you were dead in trespasses and sins, who walked according to the course of this world, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, the prince of the power of the air, then he says, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. So it is very likely that those impulses that some people claim they've sensed something came from the kingdom of darkness. Now, the kingdom of darkness also leads people. Don't get that wrong. The kingdom of darkness leads people, gives people information. No doubt. So that's not the same thing. Because there are spirits, there's a spirit of this world, and there's a spirit which is of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12, you have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. Luke 9:55. Jesus rebuking his own disciples after they said, can you call down fire like Elijah? He says, know ye not the spirit that you are of? So we need to make that distinction, so we don't make all those things work together for good. God does not start to lead you until you respond to him by faith. Faith will be your response to God. So make sure you take note of that. So I want to look at, you know, what we call the voice of God. Like I said, by the time I was preparing for this service, I knew we were going to break it into two. Because we're going to go into prayer itself. Prayer. Praise the Lord. So, we'll look at the aspect of hearing from God. Now, the first thing, for example, what we read earlier, Matthew 20:20, lo, I am with you always. How do I look at him that is with me? Do I follow feelings? No. He just said in verse 19, making disciples. Then verse 20, teaching them. So I become conscious of the presence of Christ by information, by teaching. So the written word, which we have studied so far, the didache, the written word, the explanation of the scriptures, becomes for me how I recognize God's voice. So the written word is God's voice to me. So when the written word about Christ or in Christ is God's voice to me. Let me say it again. The written word in Christ is God's voice to me. Now, for example, look at what Paul, he's praying. There is nowhere that any apostle or Jesus ever prayed that you will know God's voice. It's nowhere like that. It's no such prayer. I pray for you that you will know the voice of God. Doesn't like that. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, 16 and 17, I cease not to make mention of you in prayer. Okay, that God, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Father, glory, may grant unto you the wisdom of the Spirit. Alright? Which is revelation. In the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And what the glory of the riches of inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of His power, verse 19, towards what I believe, according to the working of mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. As in those right in heaven places, for above all, for the dominion of every blessed name, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And I put all things at His feet, give Him all things to the church, His body, the fullness of Him, that filleth all in all, verse 23. So the prayer there does not include that. You read chapter 3, 16 to 20, the same thing. Yes. Something there. Every other prayer, there's none that says, pray so that I hear God's voice. Nothing like that. So, the prayer is to know who I am in Christ and what I have in Christ. Philemon 6. Communication of that faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. Now, I need to add this. Praying for God to speak to you or you to hear a voice may be a dangerous terrain. A very dangerous terrain. Because praying outside the written word can get you into trouble. You can. I can't stay on that much this evening, but just note that. So that's why Paul in chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, now says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. 2 Peter 1:19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19. That's prophecy fulfilled of the words of the Old Testament prophet. We have a more sure word of prophecy. You do well when you take heed as unto a lamp, that's the one light, that shines in the dark part, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. For no prophecy of scripture is of any power of interpretation, but prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, 21, the holy men of God spoke as removed by the Holy Ghost. So he calls light the written word. Tell me, the written word is light. So light is the written word. When we look at the written word and we see what's in there, is light to us. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things I write unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. That believe on the name of the Son of God, pardon me, that you may know that you have eternal life. For John 2:12, I want to leave children, that because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So, the written word is meant to communicate God's voice to us. Remember? The mouth of transfiguration, Matthew 17:5, when they heard that voice in the holy mount, which Peter acknowledged in verse 17 of 2 Peter 1, and verse 18, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased hearing him. And then Peter says, we have that prophecy fulfilled, the written word. 1 John 2:20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Of course, the context of that is that you know error. You are able to know error. Because he's talking about false teachers. Then verse 27, 1 John 2. The anointing that you receive of him abides in you. And you need not any man. Of course, the word any man, there is the main teaching error. Teach you again. But the same anointing abides in you, teach you of all things, and is no lie. The truth is that you abide in him. 1 John 2:27. So, again, there's direction in the written word. That is, when I read that, it puts me in the consciousness of what I know. So the written word gives me the information of what belongs to me. The written word. Don't forget that Jesus, John 10, we read that last week, he says, my sheep what? Hear my voice. Say, I hear his voice. And I know it. Okay, very good. James 4:5. Yes. James 4:5. Right? The spirit that dwells in us. So, James, by the written word, talks about lust and envy. That's something else. We have the spirit within. First, James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, is likened unto a man that beholds his natural face in the mirror. So he calls the written word a mirror. The written word. So the written word, he calls it the law of perfect liberty, James 1, 20, 23 and 24. 24 says that whoso looks in perfect law of liberty and continues therein, 25, and not being able to forget forever, a doer of the work, the same man is blessed in his deed. So the written word is called the law of perfect liberty. Pay attention here. In Luke 24, verse 25 to 27, Jesus speaking to his own disciples, say, ho fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Again, he brings light by the written word. Say light by the written word. So every time there's a communication of the written word, the scriptures, light, you become conscious, that word, of the light. Every time there is the written word is taught, that's light. As I'm teaching right now, you are becoming conscious of direction. I don't want to say you receive direction, but you are becoming conscious. So the written word is the light of God. So, we must take the written word seriously. You must. You must take the written word seriously. Sometimes, what some folks are praying about for God to tell them is right there in the written word. But most of the time. So, the written word is God's direction. 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 Clear that in your mind. Like we've said many times, when every time we're teaching about leading of the Spirit, many times, in the bid to like the spectacular, we miss the supernatural. The spectacular. Particularly if you have people who will tell you very lovely stories. And very true. Some of them are very true. How that they had a vision. They were taken out of their bodies. Then they stood before the throne of God. Obviously, they will say that because of the revelation of John the Beloved. They stood before the throne of God and they bowed. And they tried to see the face of the one on the throne. And they couldn't see it. As they were trying to see it, their eyes became blinded. They said, "Get up, son. Today is your day." And so, you may fall into the temptation of thinking that's the norm. Meanwhile, that's the exception. And so sometimes we get caught up in that kind of expectation. So the written word is God's direction. See, the written word is God's direction. So as I feed on the written word, I become conscious of God's leading. I become conscious of God's leading. Because the written word is God's direction. So, I must know that every time I'm listening to a teaching, or I'm studying the scriptures, or I'm meditating, I am feasting on God's direction. Every time that I'm meditating on the Word of God, I am feasting on God's direction. So, every day, as I do what we call the morning devotion, and I get up, and I study the Word, and I listen, I'm feasting on direction. I'm feasting on direction. I am feasting on direction. You see something in a moment. Because, again, like I said, every new convert, and notice this, needs to be taught everything about the case, about Christianity. People, for example, assume they know how to pray because they have been praying before they got born again. You are wrong. They assume they know how to praise God because they've been praising God before they got born again. You are wrong. Jesus just told us now, go and train men. Make disciples. Make disciples. So, if before you got saved, you used to have this hunch, or bunch, or lunch, or you have this sensation, don't think that that experience is the same thing as the leading of the Spirit. Even if you got results from it. Let that be very clear. You must acknowledge that that old man is dead. And that old man was led by the springs of the power of the air. You must recognize that. So, We must therefore, the leading of the Spirit is, or let me say it like this, must be taught. In the same way, somebody feels that what he used to do before he got born again is love. That when you were in university before you got born again, you would share food in your hostel. If you did that without faith in Christ, it's called self-righteousness. That's not the love of God. Paul will say, if I give my body to be born, I feed the poor, and I have not the love of God, I am nothing. So you can do all that motion, all that activity, and it's not the love of God. It must first be explained to you because it is by faith in Christ. So note that. Now, so, hear me. So the supernatural really, fundamentally, is the written word. The supernatural leading fundamentally is the written word. I recall somebody was sharing this with me. Now, I wrote something on social media about marriage, and then and I said, you don't go praying for what the written word is clear about. That is plain disobedience. And of course, the person I mentioned was, getting married to an unbeliever is a no-no. And so he came up and said, well, he understands what you're saying. He's a friend, an old friend, school friend actually. Schoolmate. But he's also a pastor. If I recall him, I think he's an ordained bishop or something. So, am I right? But they call him bishop. So not a nickname. I think he's a bishop. So he calls me. He says, well, I understand it. I respect. Let me quote him now because he may hear me. I respect the teaching grace, where you want us to stick to the scripture. But if we are not careful, we can stick to the scriptures and forget the spirit. Now, I listened to him for almost 30 minutes. I didn't say anything. And he said, well, he gave the example of Hosea, who was asked to marry a prostitute. I will have recommended Law and Prophets so that you'll understand what actually happened. But then, you know, at that point, I just said, okay. Said, you know, they mentioned another example of someone who married someone. She's a Christian. She was led by the Spirit to marry a drunkard who wasn't a Christian, who was probably an atheist. And then she felt it wasn't the will of God. And so the story was very long. Because let me cut you the details. So eventually, he got married. In fact, let me save you some details. Eventually, they got married, and after years and 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 years, he got saved. Not the first year, not the second, not the third, not the fourth. That's a serious obedience to whatever spoke to her, or whoever spoke to her. Then the guy eventually now became a pastor. And a pastor of a thriving church. What a wonderful story. And they live happily ever after. I said, do you know the implications of what you're saying? The implication of what you're saying is that we actually can sidestep anything in scripture. I said, what if someone comes up today and tells you that God told him that if you want to be saved, you go to the Kaaba in Mecca. Then bow down 7 times, look up to the moon, I'll come into your heart. I said, how can that be possible? So why is it not possible? Said, because the Bible says, with the heart man believes the righteous. I said, no. Don't let me be too rigid with the scripture. Let's go for the spirit. I said, well, if someone gets up today and says, well, Jesus, the spirit told him that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Say, no, no, that is too fundamental to Christianity. I said, practically, I'm actually tired. And I need to go. Because why would you think that the written word is not the spirit? So the Bible says, the letter killeth. The spirit gives life. What is the letter? So say, the letter is the written word. Now listen carefully. The letter is the written word. What is the spirit? The spirit is the rhema. So hold on. What did you just quote now? The written word. Oh. Again, what is the letter? The written word. So, the written word that you have believed now by saying, I said the letter referred to the inscription of the law on the tables of stone. And the spirit is the promise of salvation. Both of them are written. Because he said, when Moses is being read, the veil is upon their heart. But when she has turned to the Lord, the veil is taken away from what is being read. Moses is written. So both the spirit and the letter are logolized. A logo. You know, logo, logos. The written word is the spirit. Are you there? So every time I'm feasting on the written word, I'm feasting on the leading of the Spirit. Lord, he slapped me. Should I slap him back? That's a stupid question. Lord has led you. Lord has already led you. Lord. Lord says, what's the Spirit saying? If somebody gives you a dirty slap, you know, there's slap, there's dirty slap. When you get dirty slap, it is a sound that is dirty. Noah! And you now go to pray. Don't pray. He says, do not revenge. That's what the Spirit is saying now. How do you know? Romans 12. From verse 16 or 14 down to 21. That's the Spirit. That's the Spirit. How often should I pray? Lord, Lord. Should I pray, Lord? Praying always. The Spirit says, praying always. With all prayer and supplication. Ephesians 6, 18. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. That's the Spirit. So, importantly, because Peter says, prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but the holy men of God spake, 2 Peter 1:21, as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. Theonistos in the Greek. That is, it came out of God's inspiration. So you cannot talk about the written word and then separate the written word from the Spirit. Now, we often say the word and the Spirit. Now, I guess one day I'll have to synthesize that one day, but it's just to clarify a few things. But the word and the spirit is the same. The word and the spirit is the same thing. Okay? But not for today. So, that's the supernatural. Okay? Now we have the spectacular supernatural, which is experiential. The experiences. Now, the written word will now be our litmus test for all our experiences. That is, when we are well taught by the Spirit in the written word, we can handle experiences. Or we can interpret them properly. We can understand them. For example, I always share the story of a lady years ago, 94, I believe, that told me how she saw Jesus in a vision. Now, she was not lying. She actually saw someone. She saw Jesus in the vision. You know, there are many people called Jesus. So she, and when she was describing the story, because she was very pious and very, very pious sister. I recall one day I was sharing that story somewhere where I preached in 2004. And she was in the congregation and I did not know. In fact, I think in one service, I can't remember whether it was our meeting or somewhere else, someone in that service came up and said, I know this story very well because the person was in the auditorium where you were sharing it again. So she told me she saw Jesus and then showed me a couple of things and all that. I knew she didn't see Jesus. How did I know? I knew by the written word. Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus on the ultimate is the spirit behind all prophetic speakings. So I kept quiet, but because if you tell people that the experiences that are not real, people believe in their experiences. So I if I said to her there, it was starting to open scripture and doing one line by line, precept for precept, she would just go, jealousy. I've seen Jesus, you only saw the word. And you are jealousy me. So I ensured that, you know, just some time in the word, you spend some time in the word, and I was teaching. And in those days, I used to teach virtually every day. So then she came up one day, 3 months after or so. She said, it wasn't Jesus I saw. Yeah. It wasn't Jesus at all. How did it happen? I said, the realm of the spirit is not just open to God. That's why demons are also called spirits. Demons are not dogs. Alright? The realm of the spirit. So, wow. I remember someone who the late dad came to her like this. I'm talking to you, like I'm speaking to you now. The late dad came and told her things. Go and pick my checkbook here. And she went and did it. And she found them exactly where the man said it. And then the same being now started saying other things to her. And because the first one was correct, it's easy to keep following. But the word of God lets you know that nobody from the dead comes to you to talk to you. But I had a dream. I saw my grandpa or my... That's why you are being trained not to believe that dream. Bible says, believe not every spirit. Because spirits seek to be believed. 1 John 4:1-2. You must put your mind off such spectacular things. So the written word guides us in our experiences. Because the written word is the spirit. And that's why some scholars will say, the spirit, referring to the spectacular, and the word must agree. What they mean is that whatever experiences you have must line up with the written word. That's what they mean by that. So, in other words, you will allow your experiences to be truly tested by the spirit. So, it's really your experiences on the super spectacular that are being tested by the spirit. And that is why, if it is someone that is given to prayer and despises the teaching of the word, is open to all sorts of spirits. All sorts of spirits. Sometimes they won't even know when an evil spirit. Some people don't know that evil spirits are real. They don't know. When someone, for example, begins to pray. Now, let me ask you a question. If somebody wants to pray, for example, you annoy someone now, and he wants to pray, and he's about to pray, and he has hatred in his heart, then, which shouldn't be because he's born of God, but he goes to an Old Testament text, and then he finds, I told you, if you are looking for scriptures to kill people, it's there. Scriptures to murder, it is there. Scriptures to do all manner, is there. But you can't quote Jesus. You can't quote Paul. You can't quote Peter. You can't quote the writer of Hebrews. You can't quote James. You can't quote John. You can't quote Jude. But you will find scriptures. But realize that no matter what scriptures you are quoting, Jesus Christ is Lord over everyone who spoke in the Bible, including the Bible itself. So, imagine you have that hatred in your heart, then you began to pray. And you are praying, using some scriptures, because they're dangerous scriptures. You are yielding to an evil spirit. Even though you are praying. Are you following this? Because when they ask Jesus, would you that we command fire from heaven? That's like praying. Then he stopped them. Because hatred cannot be in the Holy Ghost. Hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness cannot be in the Spirit. They can't be driven by the Spirit of God. So you should know that already. That's why we said the Spirit is what? The written word. So in the leading of the Spirit, the written word becomes to us the litmus test. So get that quickly. So what we're about to do is read experiences. Read experiences. Or what's called the voice of God. And you will discover that every spectacular experience was written because they line up with the word. Look at John the Baptist. He said, John 1 from verse 32, I saw heaven open and God spoke, he says, and the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Do you know that that statement was quoted from the Old Testament? Matthew 17:5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The first one wasn't hear ye him, sorry. This was the second one was hear ye him. Hear ye him. Is quoting the Old Testament. John. What does that mean? He heard audibly, or they heard audibly in their experience. They were not reading anything. But what they heard was in agreement with what the Spirit says. Matthew 17:5. In John 12, a very interesting narrative. Verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven. Of course, when you hear from heaven, it means from the Spirit. I have both glorified it, John 12, 28, and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. So nobody got what was said. They got the effects, but they never heard it. Then Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sake. That's very interesting. But the point was, they misunderstood what was said. But what was said is a confirmation of the prophecy of the prophet, which the spectacular always does. Let's see Acts of the Apostles. Now, I will just mention something briefly in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. And when we get to prayer and leading of the Spirit, we're going to delve in it a bit more. Remember when they were going to choose the replacement of Judas? Acts 1, 24. Sorry, let me say 26. They gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, some have asked whether they voted. Not exactly. But something they did before it is very vital. Verse 24. And they prayed. Now, the first thing they did was to put out qualifications. Who will replace Judas? Basic qualifications of an eyewitness. He will, was have been with us from the baptism of John, from verse 21 and 22, in and out till the day he was taken up from among us. So they spelt that out. So two people qualified. Matthias. Alright? Two of them. Matthias and Justus. And so they said, okay, what do we do? They now pray, Lord, which knoweth the heart of all, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. And that comes in somewhere. It's what Kenneth Hagin will call the prayer of consecration. The Lord, now I'm just surrendering to you. I really don't know which of this, because we have followed the qualifications. These two have come. At this point, we need you to clarify this for us. Now, they had to do this at this point for a reason. I will get to that. We'll talk about prayer. So when this was done, there were two ways in the Old Testament laws where choices were made like that. One of them is called the Urim Tumim, where there's a best place on the high priest, but we'll see all that, where they want to know God's will. The other one is the lots. You know, when they want to choose in Leviticus 16, when they want to choose the goats, that the goat of escape that goes to the wilderness of sin, and the one that goes to the temple, they also cast the lot. So it was a practice of the Old Testament. Is that very clear? We'll see why they had to do that later on. But the point I want you to observe is that they spelled out qualifications, they prayed. Which is important. So, that by the way, Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. Spectacular occurrences. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, one accord. And there came a sound, don't say a sound, from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. So, that sound was not a voice, it was just a sound. Voices are usually called phoné. That is specific words. But this is a sound. As of a rushing mighty wind. Have you ever been under a fan before? And you go, or you're in the sea or at the seashore. And the kind of wind, you know, that comes like that. A sound. The rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were seated. So they heard things supernaturally. Spectacular. And then there appeared unto them, verse 3, cloven tongues like as a fire. They also saw the wind, and then the fire, and then the sound. In Acts 4, so you can mark that in your notes, spectacular things, where you see things like the way I'm looking at you. Where you will hear things, spectacular things. Acts 4, after they had prayed, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken together. The place was shaken together. Now, the Greek word here is the word saleu in the Greek, S-A-L-E-U-O. S-A-L-E-U-O. Is used for a wind. But most precisely, and I think this is important. The noun is the word salos, S-A-L-O-S, which you will find in Acts 16:26, where the prison was shaken. Acts 16:26. So that means there was a demonstration of the glory of God that shook the place. That was the Holy Ghost. It shook the place. Now, when it shook the place, it is therefore, because the place where they were shaking together, it shows that they themselves were shaking. Now, when people talk about people under the power of God, I wonder what they're talking about. Well, you read this now. Was shaking. So, again, that's spectacular because that is experiential. Was shaking. Acts 4:31. Now, Acts 5, we just keep that. Peter's shadow. That's experiential. That's spectacular. Acts 7:55. Being full of the Holy Ghost, that is Stephen now, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. So if there's a hearing, okay? And obviously, whatever happened in Acts 4, when the place was shaken together, they must have felt something. There's a hearing, there's a seeing. They were not feeling the written word. Hallelujah. Experiential. Now preparing us for Holy Ghost meetings. Amen. Well, we have experiences. Amen. They saw. Acts 8, Philip. Now listen up. This is something's about to change now. And just observe the change. Acts 8. Now I'll just mention one briefly. That's when Simon the sorcerer, verse 18, saw that through the laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was given. What that means is, somebody comes and lays hands. And you will see a demonstration. Because he couldn't have seen the Holy Ghost was given by someone just coming and touching people. And then they'll let me demonstrate it coming. Like you just touched me anywhere. Ability will not finish you. Come here. You know, it wasn't like, okay, anyone. You minister now. Are you not an emoji? Don't want to lay hands on the man of God. Okay, touch me again. Okay. Go back to your seat. What will Simon the sorcerer see in that? Wow, see, they are very respectful. He saw demonstration. He saw things in the physical. In other words, there was a physical experience to the laying on of hands. Obviously, there was utterance in there. Acts 8:18. Let's skip that. Let's get back to Acts 9. Still there? Are you still there? Here is Saul of Tarsus. He's going to Damascus and he falls down. Four. He falls down. And as he fell down, I've seen people say some funny things like, if it's the Holy Ghost that is moving, why do you need ushers? Some things really don't require answers. If you answer them, you are not different. I remember a girl say, why do you need ushers? And I asked him a question. Did Jesus use ushers? He said yes. To do what? So to control the crowd. Go and sleep. That's God in the flesh. They asked him, who touched me? He said, Master, who touched you? In this kind of place. Is it possible that they will have turned the master's clothes? Yes. The guy will carry him. If you don't stop them, they'll carry you away. There's nothing that will happen. Ask them, where were we? So here is Saul of Tarsus. He falls down. Doesn't fall down and die. And he heard a voice, he saw light. Then, very vitally, verse 10, Ananias saw the Lord in a vision. Behold, I'm here, Lord. Ananias, behold, I'm here, Lord. Then he talks to him exhaustively. How did I skip? Oh my God, what did I just do? Go back to 8. My notes brought me back. I flew to Paul. I want to talk about Paul quickly. Paul, move aside. Acts 8, 26. And the angel of the Lord spake to Philip. Angels will talk. Angel of the Lord spake to Philip. You know that Luke was not there. And Luke stood like this. Philip, that's the angel, right? Who must have said it? Philip. And why did they believe Philip? Because Philip is a disciple. He's taught. So he knows what angels are. He knows how they talk. Discipleship. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. And notice how Philip was able to differentiate. An angel spoke, which means he saw an angel. Then, arise, go towards the south. Join yourself. No, sorry. Towards the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is the desert. He arose and went. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. He was able to know the difference. That is by the written word. So the written word makes the distinction for you. He knew the difference. The Spirit said. Now, so the Spirit said is something you will hear the way you are hearing me. It's not an impression. It's not a wind. It's the way you just heard me. In clarity. Go. Join yourself to that chariot. Notice the way this is. This is not a vision. So in instances like this, it's usually in phrases. Take note of that. Short words of command. Phrases. Unlike a vision, where you will have elaborate talk. In this, it's short phrases. And you see it again, it will come up shortly again. Go join yourself to that chariot. Of course, later on, verse 39, he was taken away to the villages and all that. So back to Acts 9. Verse 10, Ananias saw the Lord and then he gave him elaborate discussion. Don't forget again, we've said this before, that in visions, your belief system comes to play. You are not inactive. Whatever you see in a dream or a vision, many times, if it's of God, represents you. Ananias said, we have heard of this man. He has done many mighty things against your church. That is his sense knowledge, self-consciousness bothering him. Remember the next chapter we'll see, Peter says, I have not touched anything that is not clean. That is his theology. So your theology is in your vision. It's very likely some people in visions will drink oil. Some people in the vision will wash feet. And they say they have a part in Christ through their feet. That their inheritance is in their toes. So it's not unlikely that, imagine if Peter did not have a clarity and he stopped there. Then he comes to the church. Hallelujah. That was how yesterday night in the place of prayer I saw four-footed beasts. I said, no. No. I knew the Lord was testing me. Arise, kill and eat. I will never, never go back through the wall. Why? Because it will misinterpret the spectacular because he doesn't have the knowledge of the Spirit. Does it make sense? But good enough, he bailed himself out. So Ananias argued, said, Lord, you have many things he has done. Yes, and then Ananias must be the kind of person that gists. I mean, why are you telling Jesus? That's a gisty brother. Some of you are like, even in vision, some of you are doing babble. In the vision, I say, ah, my Lord, do you know that it's bro, Bola that is going out with Sister Jane? Lord, what do you think we should do about it? He said, go your way. Jesus does not do this. Say, go your way. Shh. Go your way. Well, he chose a vessel unto me. As he entered here, brother saw the Lord Jesus, even the Lord Jesus. So a vision does not bring knowledge. It is the Spirit leading that is knowledge. Spectacular things do not transmit revelation knowledge. Yet, they are involved in the leading of the Spirit. Chapter 10, I've already spoken about Peter, so I'm done with that. Chapter 11, okay. In a vision, please, I should never have skipped this. The three revelation gifts, as were taught by people like Howard Carter and Kenneth Hagin, were present. Discerning of spirit is that capacity to hear or see into spiritual activities. Discerning of spirit, it's better taught distinguishing of spirit, that is, to recognize. Sometimes when you are laying hands on the sick and laying hands, if this has ever happened to you before, you went to preach somewhere and you are ministering and then you seemingly just sense a pull and you feel like something is just crowding you and it's not a physical feeling. It's not like anything. It's a sensing in the spirit. You are sensing something. So usually like that, you can have symbols. Sometimes I'm ministering and I'm seeing, of course, not you. And I see like a creature. And most of the time, this almost happens all the time, not all the time. When I'm dealing with deaf ears, particularly, and dumb folks, I always sense an evil spirit around. Almost all the time. Now, this is not you. You probably don't. I'm just talking about myself. So that is, sometimes you don't see, you just sense, and you will know. So, sign of spirit is for you to see. He knew that was Jesus. Okay? Then he heard. Then, that is the revelation gifts. Then you now have the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge there will be, he has seen, there's one in the street called street, word of knowledge, what is happening. He has seen a man come and lay hands on him. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Go your way. He's a chosen vessel, verse 15. Word of wisdom. So you'll have the revelation gifts where you will see things almost like with your naked eye and hear them almost audibly. So in every vision, the three gifts are usually present. Revelation gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit. What people often call I heard God or I heard the voice of God is discerning of spirits. But if you are not well taught, you may not even know what it is. Discerning of spirits. Chapter 10. Okay, we're there. Talking about that. In chapter 10, it says that is Peter, a voice. In verse 15, let's skip that. But in 19, he now says, the Spirit said unto me, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Notice again, he was able to distinguish angel, and the Holy Ghost. That's teaching. Because the angel said, what God has cleansed. Third person pronoun. Thou cannot call it uncommon. Of course, that's an angel. No doubt. In a vision. And then in verse 19, the Spirit says, God, behold, three men seek you, and, you know, clarity, like we said before. Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11 will be prophecy. Verse 28. There stood up one of them, one of the prophets now, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Again, prophesying. Prophesying will be a spectacular thing. Somebody speaking to you. There will be a great death in all the land. Agabus, a prophet. Acts 13, verse 2. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. I want you to observe what something in just briefly. Look at that. Acts 13. They were in the church. He mentioned prophets and teachers. And Paul was there and Barnabas and some other folks. And then it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, now, obviously, this is an utterance. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I have called them. That is a prophecy that carries revelation. For the work I have called them. That's a word of knowledge. And the Holy Ghost said, there was not a loudspeaker, there was just one person spoke. Somebody must have spoken. And that's called the Holy Ghost said. Now look at chapter 15. Why are we reading the book of Acts? Because the book of Acts is a practical book. That is an eyewitness account of the leading of the Spirit. So we'll see the word taught, how the word guided the church, and we see spectacular occurrences. Acts 15, what's something they said here? Verse 28. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost, and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, the Holy Ghost and to us. Now, when they said it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us, you know they were actually referring to the written word. Because they were quoting the Old Testament. That it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Because they called the Holy Ghost, therefore, the words of the prophets, which they quoted earlier. Note that very vital fact. Seem good to the Holy Ghost and to us. And what was James referring to? Verse 15. And to this, the words of the prophet agree. The words of the prophets. So, without hearing a voice from the written word, we know what the Holy Ghost is saying. Does it make sense? Okay. And so Paul and Barnabas now go, they endorse them and all that. Acts 16. Of course, Paul and Barnabas, let's see another one. Acts 16. Paul and Barnabas had a fallout. Now, a lot of folks have asked who was right, who was wrong. Well, who was recorded after? You don't get to find about Barnabas again, except the lost books, because he's lost. Verse 38. Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the walk. And the contention was so sharp between them. You know, sometimes it's good to be less curious. Curiosity doesn't lead to knowledge. I've told you that before. Somebody was sharing with me today how, you know, I put something out on Facebook and I put the author. It's not doctrine at first. It's just a statement. Some folks, when they see the, they're not going to look for that person on Facebook. You know? They say in Twitter, retweet is not recommendation. They will not be looking for the person till they find trouble. Remember one fellow like that? I was checking a website on a laptop. She now came around. She was just greeting me. But she was very curious to see the website. Because I was like, where does he study from? Let's catch him. That's how they got the website. The rest is history. Do you understand? So you hear Barnabas. You know what I'm saying? But Barnabas was a man of God. So I say, he was a man of God who? He has some letters. Where are they? You have them? Go and Google it, you'll see it. Barnabas' letters. Did you get saved reading them? Someone was asking me. He says, they're asking me about Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, do you believe in Trinity? He said, I believe in God. He said, can you explain? He said, is there any teaching on Living Word Media on Trinity? I said, no. What you find about Jesus, find about the Father, you find the Holy Ghost explained. I said, do you have a problem with the fact that God is three in one? He said, I'm just thinking, sir. Did you have a problem when you were getting saved? He said, no. Is your salvation faulty? He said, no. Keep believing. Curiosity will not kill you. It don't kill you. You are looking for what is not lost. And your salvation cannot be lost. Can salvation be lost? Okay, oh. How did I get there? 15. Paul and Barnabas. Paul taught him that he should not take John Mark. The funny thing was that the same John Mark that Barnabas fought for eventually came back to Paul. That's how life is. He said, bring is useful for me. So we have a record of John Mark later, but not Barnabas. Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp, and Barnabas took his own nephew. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended, verse 40, by the brethren unto the grace of God. So there's also a leading of the Spirit in the church, where the church actually take a direction. Of course, the church here, they are well taught, their doctrine is correct, and so on and so forth. I always take with caution someone who is prophesying or ministering spectacularly, whose doctrine is suspicious. I always take them with caution. You have to be cautious. So look at the church here. The church, therefore, recommended Silas. Look at Acts 16. Are you learning something? Acts 16, we were there last week, so I'm not going to take much time. Acts 16, verse 6. When they had gone to Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they were forbidden. So we said, God can say no, right? Okay, so God can say no. You know, don't mind all these finished works, people. You know what I'm saying? Well, those that are led in life. You know what I'm saying? All the promises of God are yes. Yes. So this one doesn't look like a promise. Eh? Yes. So go and approach your sister. And let her word be yes. Nonsense. God said no. Verse 7, when they were come to Mysia, they are said to go to Bithia, and the Spirit suffered them not, did not allow them. How did they know this? That means they had been taught. These are the guys who were around Jesus, who said an angel spoke to him, who said it's a thunder. But now they have been well taught. So when we are well taught, we know it is the Spirit of God. They were well taught. They knew. Notice that nobody was singled out. They knew. There's such a thing, and I trust the Lord, that as the word of God is growing all over Africa, Nigeria, we'll have churches where we'll all sense God's leading together. I know, it's not supposed to be a feat that we all sense the same thing. That I just feel we shouldn't go yet, Pastor. Yes, we shouldn't. Yeah, we shouldn't. And everybody, and why? Because we are well taught. But if some of us believe that they have their own rhema and their own revelation, or as somebody is reading another book, or we are all following like 20 authors, somebody will say, well, for me, oh, I know there's a place of the Spirit. Thank God for your life, for what you said by the Spirit. But I was in a book two days ago by Jack Burr, or the Burr, what do you call it, where he said something, that intuition comes by the addition of mental position. And he told a story. That story, in fact, let me read that story for you. It's confusing the Holy Ghost and everybody together. But because we are well taught, we know what we have said. Hallelujah. I mean, we should get to a point where we say, okay, let's just go and pray about it. And we all come and say, yeah, you're right. You're right. Why? Because we are taught. But we say, let us go and pray about it. And you drink oil. You wash feet. You kill enemy. You say finish work. You abundance or supply. Material prosperity is your portion. AD 70. You anointed for whatever. I will say, let's go and pray about it. You will see confusion. You will just see confusion. Me, I sense in my spirit. Me, I saw. Me, I heard. That's the church at Corinth. I'm of Apollo. No, I don't think that I'm of Apollo. You know, Apollo's balanced. You know, so it's balanced. Because it mixes the natural and the supernatural. The base of everything is the finished works. But there are things we can finish on the finished works. So, they knew. A good thing about us believing alike is that we will sense things well. They knew. Notice no single person was singled out. And you know the interesting thing is, Timothy was one of this crowd, a new guy. Of course, Silas was there. And, you know, there were more than that. Of course, Luke was there. Now, look at verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach. So, collectively, no. But the clarity now came to the leadership. Because they all could not have seen the vision. Though there's something that happened to us years ago that we all saw a vision. We saw monkeys. That was not from the Lord. We went for one mission like that. We just woke up. Everybody was sweating. What happened, bro? No. Did you see? You see? I said, man was black monkey. Man was a bit brown. You know? And I told myself, hey, Lagos is far from this place. So. That was about 24 years ago. I didn't even go to the zoo. Talking about the same monkey in crusade. So, Paul saw the vision. Are you following this? So they said, we are shortly gathered. That is, we're able to prove. Sometimes, we may be patient to prove what God is saying. Particularly when we're in the midst of much activity. So much ministry is being done. So sometimes it's just good to be slow. But Hagin will tell us that it's better to be a little bit slower than God than to be faster. Sometimes we'll say, let's get the word out. Let's get the word out. I'll tell our pastors, let's wait. You see, it's not gra-gra. There are ministries that are reaching millions and not on television. I mean millions, and they are not on television. And that's a fact. I'm not saying they are led by God. I'm just saying that don't follow any, just follow the leading of the Spirit. Sometimes let's just pray about it. If there's nothing, you know you are rest assured that whilst they were assuredly gathering, if it's Paul's company, they were praying. Praying without ceasing. So they now got to a point where to go to this place. They went to Macedonia. So sometimes we, in leading of the Spirit, even with the spectacular, we can be slow. Don't go, but you are not even told where to go to. So you will be patient. Patience is key. You know, we said it last week or 2 weeks ago, that the fruit of the Spirit is the way we obey the leading of the Spirit. Because both the leading and the obedience, they are in the same place. Are you with me? So, write it in your note. Say, don't rush. Write it there. Say, don't rush. Wait till we are suddenly gathered. That is, we are proven it. That's it. That's it. Acts 16, verse 18. Of course, when that damsel followed Paul for many days, he was now grieved. Now, watch the inward witness now. He was now grieved in the spirit. The word here is diaponomai, diaponomai. It means to be distressed, to be perplexed in his spirit. Uncomfortable. No voice, no sound, nothing spectacular. Just something he knew in his spirit. You will hear a voice. That's the inward witness. That word, diaponomai, can be found in Acts 4:2. Acts 4:2. Being greatly disturbed or distressed. Greatly disturbed. Just that discomfort. Now, how did Paul know it is in his spirit? Because you can be uncomfortable in the flesh and you are led in the spirit. And you can be led in the spirit and you are comfortable in the flesh. But he knew that was his spirit. How? They were taught. He knew. By the written word. Acts 17:16 A spirit was stirred in Athens. Stirred. That's the word paraxuno. To be stimulated. P-A-R-A-X-U-N-O. Now notice that in the inward witness, a fact will be exposed to it. The ladies prophesying. When he opened his eyes and saw. That reaction in the spirit is the inward witness. So it's oftentimes a reaction to words or experiences. There's one more. Acts 18:6. I just want to mention that briefly. So Acts 18:5. Pressed in the spirit. It's a bit difficult because the Greek actually renders it differently. It's like to share, to witness much more passionately. Let's leave that. Acts 20:22. And now, Acts 20:22, please turn there. Behold, I go bound in the Spirit. D-O in the Greek. D-O. It means to be compelled. Like you are being pushed, moved to go to Jerusalem. Not knowing the things that will befall me. Because the inward witness many times does not have facts. It is the word of knowledge or word of wisdom or the sign of spirits that has facts. The inward witness will endorse whatever fact is, even the facts of the revelation gift. So, the inward witness is an attesting to or a refuting of. No. I submit to you that what happened in Acts 16, when they said the Spirit suffered us not to go, was inward witness. They were forbidden, was inward witness. It looks a bit tricky because of the Holy Ghost may sound like utterance. But no. That forbidding didn't sound like an utterance. It was a reaction. So maybe as they were preparing to go. And it is not, listen to me, it is not about sensing danger. Don't get it wrong. Because eventually when they now went, they went to prison. It's about obeying God. Those who have thought obeying God will mean it is smooth, they have misled many times. Sometimes you obey God and what you get out of it is trouble. I mean, I was doing a review with somebody 2 days ago, was it yesterday? And then he said something. I shared this with people this today and it got my attention. Just listen to this. He said that, do you know that when it comes to joy and rejoicing in the epistles, and the New Testament, that you hardly find joy and rejoicing without suffering or persecution. I had never thought that way before. So go and say that you hardly find it. That most of what people are teaching people to rejoice over is not what men in scriptures rejoice over. So wow, that's true. That it was either around, look at that Philippians, the entire Philippians is about suffering. Or rejoicing for your salvation. That hardly would you find anywhere where rejoicing had to do with anything earthly. He said, most dominant will be persecution. That is like the exact opposite. Persecution should bring sadness, but the reaction of the inward witness is joy. You know, that's a bit funny. Don't go to Bithynia. Go to Macedonia. You would have thought it means that when you get to Macedonia, there will be lovely, lovely things. And as you go to Macedonia, that was when they met that girl. As they cast out the demon, they went to jail. And they now met the jailer. Interesting. So pray be Barnabas and for the work I've called them. Not long after they heard that voice and they left the Jews for the Gentiles, he was stoned to death. But you know what? He was full of joy. That joy is the inward witness even when things are wrong. They look in your head. In your head. It doesn't make sense. But the inward witness will be... Now, that's if you know where your spirit is. It's not on your leg. The inward witness is that endorsement of the persecution. Because that persecution actually has God glorified in it. Are you getting this? The moment a Christian does not understand the comfort of joy in discomfort, he is not taught the right doctrine. Now, don't forget, we're not talking about sickness and disease. Okay. Acts 20:22 said that the Holy Ghost witnesses, watch this, Paul, in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. He said, none of these things move me. Can you imagine? None of these things move me. So what was moving him? The inward witness. But the gist was not moving him. Neither do I count my life now dear to death, that I might finish my course with joy. In the grave, what did we hear Jesus was doing? He was rejoicing. He was rejoicing. Acts 20:22 now. Now, 2023, the Holy Ghost testifies, is actually prophesying by others anyway. Quickly. Acts 21. Hope you are learning something. And finally, verse 4, find disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. That is, they gave utterances. Then they now gave themselves, they now said, look, from what we are seeing, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul said, look, don't bother your head. Of course, the daughters of Philip equally prophesied in verse 9. Then Agabus said the same thing. And Paul said, don't break my heart. You know, I am bound, I am ready to go to Jerusalem. That's the inward witness. So, you can see that even prophecy was made to what? Be attested to by what? The inward witness. I'm led. Hallelujah. So the inward witness is what Paul will teach in Romans 8:16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Bears with witness. Bears witness with. Interestingly, it was in the book of Romans that that word was used. Somaterio. Somaterio. Romans 2:15 and Romans 9:1. It means together with. That is the evidence of the indwelling of the Spirit. It endorses even the gifts of the Spirit. It endorses even the gifts of the Spirit. So, the inward witness for me will endorse or refute a fact exposed to it. I've been using this definition for over 20 years. The inward witness is the Spirit of God in us, or the life of God in us, they are the same, witnessing to, endorsing, testifying of, or refuting a fact, persons, events exposed to it. Witnessing to, endorsing, refuting, or refusing a fact when it is exposed to it. The inward witness is like an uncontrolled feeling. Don't forget, it's not fear. It's not hatred. It's not bitterness. Those are works of the flesh. When you don't have, when you have that, I didn't make this up. I didn't make this up. So the inward witness, and this is where we're going to get to, the inward witness oftentimes can now lead us to pray. Sometimes when we are praying, we can actually have spirit-led prayers. So the inward witness witnesses to those facts, testifies to them, or refutes them. So how do we respond? By faith. Or what we have called obedience. Let me just teach us some very practical things. The leading of the Spirit of God is not an isolated activity. Look at Jesus. He is about to be baptized by John. He was obviously led there. What's he doing? He is praying. That must be Luke 3, is it 17? Let me check. He is praying. So Luke 3:21. He is praying. So you cannot suspend prayer because you claim you are being led. No, he is praying. In Matthew 14, I think that was in 23, The Bible tells us from 21:23 that he drives away 21:23. He had healed the sick and so on and so forth. He had multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he drove away the crowd. You know, the crowd is his ministry. Sometimes you can take a break of activities and you are still obeying God. And then the Bible says he went alone to pray. Alone. So in the leading of the Spirit and in all spiritual truths and activities, prayer is a constant. Prayer is what? It's a constant. Prayer is a constant. Whatever you hear from anybody that does not inspire you to pray or discourages prayer did not come from God. Prayer is a constant. How do we know? Because the written word is very clear. Pray always. The leading itself is an inspiration to pray. God's direction is the more reason why you have to pray. So, in obeying the leading of the Spirit, I must be found praying. You are led to someone to marry. You are led to start a church. You are led to... That leading now makes you pray. That leading is not the reason why you should stop praying. It is the reason why you should start praying. Is it making sense? Imagine, away from God's will in God's will, you are away from activities that will bless lives, and you are in God's will, praying. So, write it down that prayer is a constant. The leading of the Spirit will always make you pray. I remember 1997, we had this vision. We were called Faith Family Network then. Then I showed them the things that we were going to do. And I mentioned Africa, like we all have all done many years. And some guys were just excited. Woo! Glory! So now I said, Pastor, I noticed that you were not, I said, excited. God is leading you to walk. You are saying glory. I said, we are going to fast and pray. Hey. This is what leading means. We are going to, when you are led, it increases your prayer point. Look at Acts 13. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, verse 2, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them." Acts 13. Do you know that if we are some of us today, you just go on social media. What a glorious meeting. As the meeting was going on, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, the word man, to the nations." And we all rejoiced. Woo! Glory! And we left. And he now showed us pictures of the person that gave the prophecy. Look at the next verse. And when they had fasted and prayed, that means they did not stop praying. Is the more reason why you will now fast and pray more. Don't go on social media. Don't go. Do you know that everything we are reading it after they had practiced it. Luke was not writing it that it was happening. Glory. Guys, you know what happened last night? The Holy Ghost. Things that the devil did not know, he knows by Facebook. It's your status that tells him. He didn't know Jesus was born until those wise men went to Herod. It is that their Bebeto that killed those children. Even if you are not clear, Herod, wait a bit more. They went to Herod. That's how Satan got to know. Satan could not know where Jesus was till he used Judas. Satan uses men. So your Facebook status, don't say, we're in a free world. The God of this world is the devil. They put everything to the world. Is that, you know, if you put the word out, that's the word. Just put the word out. Are you following what I'm saying? They prayed. Acts 16, 25, 26 again, when they were in jail, they prayed. Paul and Silas, they prayed. Prayer is acting on the leading of the Spirit. I'll close here. Prayer is what? Prayer is what? Whatever is not making you pray more is not God's leading. Because prayer is a constant. Prayer is the will of God in the will of God. Prayer is the will of God in all the will of God. Pray without ceasing. You heard what God wants you to do? Pray. You have not heard? Pray. You have heard and you are doing it? Keep praying. Prayer is our response to the leading of the Spirit. I'll add one more. When we start talking about the other part, then we'll get to it. Meditation. Meditation. Learn to think very well. 1 Timothy 4, 14, Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in you, which was put in thee by the putting of hands on the presbytery, by prophecy, sorry, laying on the hand of the presbytery. It says, meditate upon these things, verse 15. Give yourself wholly to them that are prophet may appear to all. What it means is that you meditate. Meditation prepares us for positive action. You meditate. Think through it. We'll check that later. So prayer is a constant. A constant. You are praying about the leading of the Spirit. When you now get the precise leading, you are now going back to pray. Many times, it even gives you what to pray about. So obeying the leading of the Spirit involves prayer. Learn to pray as you go. Pray as you go. Amen. So prayer is obedience to that leading. Hallelujah. Learn something.